this week, and we wanted Owen to sing. He hadn't sung with us. He's got a couple songs that he wanted to sing.
I hadn't heard mine on yet. I heard it
on
right now.
The only problem is he's heard this song before. The Gospel Plowboys did it, and he liked the way they did it, and we can't do it. We're not the Gospel Plowboys. But we're going to sing this. Owen's going to sing the lead on it. And what he wants is that when we repeat the chorus the second time at the end, everybody join with us. You'll know the song, What a Day That Will Be. Ready?
There is coming. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to get them involved. All of these young men up here. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to John chapter 4. I'm going to have to come out of this today. Illustrations are quite important when thinking about messages. And the Lord Jesus Christ used illustrations. I called them parables many times. Earthly story has a heavenly truth, and there are many illustrations that help us to understand and remember spiritual truth that has been taught to us. One I used back in 2013 is this one pictured right up here. Wait a minute here. Here we go. It's a picture right back here in the subdivision on coming from my house up here on Oak Lane back in 2013, we had a tree that came down there on that road. Can you guess which one it was? Well, it wasn't the one that was leaning. if that's what you were guessing. But actually, it's one that's about 10 yards or so back behind it there. Another look at it is that one right there, and you can see why. It was hollow. And in that heavy snowstorm that came down, that tree came down. I was expecting this one coming leaning across this. Now, it came down later. But that's another illustration with that. But one of the things that I did, it was on a Wednesday night very quickly there with a devotional. The main point is it looked good on the outside, but it was lacking on the inside what it needed to be strong and healthy. And you can see how that applies to us. We can look, and you can look here on Sunday morning, plenty good. And there's sometimes no way for us to tell what your inside is like. But I remind you that God looks on the heart. He knows exactly what we're like on the inside. And He has the truth of His Word to help us to be what we should be on the inside, that the outside also may be clean and right and altogether pleasing unto Him. I want us to look, and this PowerPoint may trip me here in a minute, but I want us to look today at some other illustrations, two other trees actually, that illustrate God's truth to us today, and I hope that it'll be something that will be both not only informative but helpful to you in your walk with the Lord, as we need the help that we can get from God's Word, and His Word is always faithful. I found this illustration actually from a mailing that I got from Lifeway Christian Books, and I give them the credit for having found this information. I've done a lot of research on it. Beyond that, on the internet, you know, everything you read there is true. My wife and I joke about that quite a bit. Matter of fact, pray for her. She's not able to be here with us today. She's got another infection going on and just started with antibiotics, but still feeling quite bad this morning. And I appreciate your prayers for her. But I've entitled the message today, A Tale of Two Trees. And I want us to look at what God can teach us of His Word through these illustrations that we have. Father, I pray that as we look today, that we would not be distracted of anything that would get our attention otherwise. But Lord, I pray that You would show us through Your Word the truth that You would have for us today. Help me to be able to clearly state it. And I pray, Father, that we would be honest with ourselves of what we see. And Lord, that You would speak to our hearts, put Your finger specifically on the things of our life that needs to be adjusted, that we may be surrendered to that process today. We thank You, Lord, for Your promise that Your Word does not return unto You void, but will accomplish that which You intend. Lord, help us not to stand in the way of what You intend for each one of us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first one is the tree here of Tenere. However you want to pronounce that, that's what I found is the best way from what I saw. But the illustration goes like this. The Tenere wastelands of northeastern Niger were once populated by a forest of trees. By the 20th century, there was only one tree left, and that was within a 250-mile radius. The first trees there grew in a grove when the land was less arid. Now it sat alone in a sea of sand called the Nigerian Sahara Desert. How had this tree survived? It was an acacia tree. And this is another picture of an acacia tree. I believe that was a picture of the actual tree. It is no longer there. I read that a drunk driver went out and slammed into it. Now it is encased in another place there. But that's when they found out the information that I'm about to share to you. But the acacia tree there is the type of tree that it was. The tree was discovered that its roots stretched deep down into the earth nearly 125 feet. And you can do the math. That's over 6 or 7 times the height of the tree the roots went down into the ground. It was the result of a continual search for the only water available as the land became more and more arid. So this first tree illustrates to us the tree had deep and deepening roots to survive. That's the answer. Now, as we look at the application of that this morning, what does that mean to us? What spiritual truth does this tree illustrate? Well, my question about the tree would be this. How can a tree that is all alone in a harsh environment continue to survive and grow? And then the question to us is, how can we, when we're away from good family and friends, in difficult circumstances of our life, how can we continue to survive and grow under those that environment? Now, many of you are still around family and friends. Young people, you have your families here. No family is perfect, but you have some good families that are raising you and seeking to do their best to buy you. We have adults that are here. Some of you have parents that are in the area. Some of you have other relatives. Some of you are here and you do not have any close family by. But you maybe have developed, I hope you have developed some close friendships, especially within the church. And so there's these relationships that are there. And how do we do and what do we do when we are away from that? Some of you travel quite a bit. Some of you have to be gone here and there. Some of you will eventually join others that we have at college. There are young people. And when you're away from family and good friends, how do you survive during the difficult times and stresses and temptations that are there? How do you continue to grow and improve in your spiritual walk we're talking about this morning? So both of these have the same answer, both of these questions. What did the tree need to do and what do we need to do there? And the answer is deep and deepening roots. Now, with a tree, the tree roots went into the life-sustaining water that was way down in the earth. As the desert began to take over and the land became more arid, it did not get the rainfall, and it could not rely upon that, but the roots went down to where the water was, and the tree survived, and the tree grew. And that illustration there is for us, that for Christians, what do we need? We need our roots. And I would say our roots would be our lifeline to nourishment. Our roots must reach into the water of life. Who is the water of life? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have before you there in John chapter 4, a hope, a very familiar passage of Scripture that deals with the woman that met Jesus at the well. And what he said there in John chapter 4 and verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." Jesus Christ described himself as this water that brings or gives everlasting life. That's probably where the fountain of youth ideas came from. People that do not understand what Jesus was talking about, neither did this lady who thought he was talking about some physical water and said, "Hey, you know, give me the drink of that physical water there so that I can live." But he was speaking about the spiritual water there, himself. Now, I want you to reason with me here. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He is the water of life there, the only source of nutrients that we have for our spiritual life. If you reason with me then, what Jesus said when he was living here on this earth is the spoken Word of God. Everything that is written of what he said and what he did is the recorded of that, the written Word of God. And so then we would reason, therefore, the Word of Jesus Christ, the Bible, is connected with the source of our nourishment. And it itself becomes the nourishment that we're to have in our spiritual walk. It is the Word of God that our roots must go deep down into and continue to get deeper and deeper in the knowledge of the Word of God, not just in a knowledge of it, because knowledge by itself puffeth up. But we must have a knowledge of the Word of God that transcends into our life there and makes a difference in the way that we live. That is to be controlling us in the way that we submit to it and God then directs us. And so the Word of God, Ephesians 5:26, we're cleansed by the washing of the water by the Word. The Word of God is clearly connected there with the nourishment of the Lord Jesus Christ as the water of life, our continual nourishment that we need. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we have a statement of that truth that is given to us there. Matter of fact, we'll see eventually here that both of the lessons or the illustrations that we have here come out of this particular passage. But in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We're to let the Word of Christ, that is the Word of God, dwell in us richly, the abundantly. In other words, deepening, deep and deepening roots there into the Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ there. We are, according to 2 Peter 3:18, to keep on growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the present tense there. It means that we are to continue to put forth the effort there to allow those roots of our life to get deep into the Word of God. There are too many Christians, I think, that have a shallow understanding of what Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. They have a shallow understanding of what the Christian life is. And therefore, when it comes to those dry spells in their life, they have nothing to draw upon. They have nothing to survive upon there. But their lives begin to fall apart. It is the knowledge of God's Word and its control in our lives, and that's what Colossians 3:16 speaks of there. It is to dwell in us. How does God's Word dwell in us? By us getting into it. We have got to get in it. 2 Timothy 2:15, y'all know that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. What does the word study mean? It means to put forth effort. Somebody's been listening. It means to put forth effort that we may rightly divide the word of truth there, the word of God. And so we have got to get into God's word, and for our roots to get deep, we've got to put forth the effort to be learning that truth. Don't let the devil come to you and tell you that you cannot learn very well. Don't let the devil tell you you can't remember God's truth very well. Because God has already said there, He's given us the Holy Spirit, our Comforter there, that is our resident truth teacher. He is the one that it dwells within us to guide us unto all truth. Jesus Christ there gave His life there that we might have not only salvation of our sin and His righteousness applied to our account, but He has given us the truth of His Word that is all about Him, and we are, if we're going to please Him, must find out what pleases Him. How can you please Him if you don't know what it is? As we have said many times there, how can you do what God wants if you don't know what God wants? And so it's important for us to have deep roots, getting into the Word of God, and that deep roots takes effort, study, put forth the effort to rightly divide God's truth. Deep spiritual roots is a growing knowledge of the Word and its control of our lives. The next illustration that we have is of the redwood tree. Actually, it's one of my favorite trees. I've never been out to Northern California and Oregon, where these trees are. But one of these days, if not here, maybe in the kingdom, I'll make it out there and see those things. But in this illustration here, we have of these redwoods out there. It says a redwood tree can grow to be more than 350 feet tall with a diameter of over 25 feet. Talk about some tree huggers. How deep are these trees' roots? We talked about the acacia tree there and 125 feet deep. These redwoods have roots that are only about 6 to 10 feet deep. But the interesting thing is that they spread horizontally for as much as 100 feet. And the other thing that's interesting is that the redwood tree root system is intertwined with the other redwood trees, literally holding each other up. These trees grow very close together and are dependent on each other for nutrients as well. Only redwood trees have the strength and ability to support other redwoods. And you probably have seen some pictures of the cars and so forth that go through these trees. The point is there, the illustration is one of support that we'll see. And one person described it this way, and I quote, he says, "Beneath the surface of these huge statue-like trees are roots like an army of men who have their arms interlocked, standing and supporting each other. They are preventing the adversities of life from knocking each other down. They are also making sure there's plenty of nutrients for growth to continue." And that is what we see from the redwood tree there. Now, what does that mean to us in application? How does a redwood with such relatively shallow roots and a tall and weighty top withstand the storms of life? And the question to us then is, how can we, as I'll show you, who have some very shallow root system ourselves, in other words, as Paul put it there, we are just clay vessels. We're just clay pots, earthen vessels. And that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so of ourselves, we have relatively no ability to withstand the storms of life that come our way. But in Christ, we can do all things. But we have here in this question then, how can we learn from them to help us withstand the storms, the difficult circumstances, etc., that come into our lives? And there are two truths that I think that come to mind when we look at these redwood trees. The first one there is the support from other trees. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. As believers, we need spiritual support from other godly believers in order to stand firm. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." And you know what peer pressure is. Most of the time when you hear about peer pressure, you hear about it in a negative regard, that people are putting pressure on their peers to do something that they know as they shouldn't. But this is talking about positive peer pressure. As peers, we are to be coming alongside of each other and thinking about encouraging one another to do the right things. Here it says to love and good works. And so we're to be provoking one another. And as I've told you before, you know, too often we got people that's got the provoking down real pat. But again, that's only in the negative part. We're to be doing it in the positive part there and encouraging one another there to do these good works. And in verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." What does the word exhort mean? To encourage. And so we are to be considering one another, thinking about one another as we come together to encourage one another, to encourage to good works, to love, etc. That is to be a purpose of our coming together, to support one another. Certainly, we have a major emphasis that is given of God that we come together as a church to worship the Lord, to serve Him. We come to gather here as believers, as we've been told this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 there, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. All of these things are part of that ministry. But part of that that God has designed is in our coming together, we're to consider one another, and we're to encourage and to put pressure on, to be peer pressure there of others, believers there, to do the right things. So we must be around others to get that encouragement, and we must be thinking of others to give that encouragement. Consider one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort one another daily. You know, you don't have to wait till Sunday when you come together in the congregation to do it. You can do it every day that you see another believer, have interaction with them, whether it be face-to-face, whether it be through text or email or social media, etc. We can be encouragers, and we should be. Not gossipers, but encouragers. And so that is a great part of the ministry that God wants us to be a part. And then over into 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1 again uses my favorite Greek word. What is it?
Parakletos.
Y'all learning a little bit here and there. Parakletos there in its forms. It says there in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. There's the word. And the word comfort there is parakletos. It is that which one comes alongside to be a comfort, an encourager, a help, etc. Jesus Christ is our advocate, our parakletos, our defense attorney who stands before the Lord and defends us. There's our advocate as the devil accuses us day and night. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our parakletos, that is given to us to dwell within us, to be the one that is there constantly alongside to encourage and to help and to guide, etc. And so here it says, He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulation, in all of our trial, in all of our difficulty, in all of our situations that we face. Why? Here's the purpose clause. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God says there through the Apostle Paul that no matter what trial that you've been through, and you've experienced God's comforting hand there. As God has come alongside you and helped you through that trial, that with other people, no matter what trial they're in, any trial, you can be an encouragement to them. You don't have to face the exact same thing. All you've got to do is experience the exact same God that is the comforter, the one that has helped you. And you can go and show them how they too can be helped and encouraged by our God. And so that is part of that coming alongside, that support that we are to do with one another. By the way, do you know that the words one another are found over 40 times in the New Testament? God has a lot to say about us together, the one another's. We're to love one another. We're to comfort one another, encourage one another, provoke one another in the right way. All of these things, we're to forgive one another. All of these things God has intended. And it's part of that fellowshipping, it's part of that togetherness that He does it through. Now, who is the best people to have fellowship with? I want to remind you of a statement that was in the illustration there of the trees where it said, only redwoods have strength and ability to support other redwoods. You know, as believers, we are best equipped to support and bring nourishment, etc., there to other believers. We can do that. We are to be doing that. And you are to be seeking out other believers in fellowship with them so that you can receive that of them. And always looking for those that are the godly, the growing believer who can help another. And we are to be seeking to be that godly and growing believer that we may help others as well. And so it is these other believers. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Who are you walking with? Who are you talking to? Who are your friends? Who do you spend time to, whether in face-to-face or on Facebook? Who are you chatting with, etc. there? Who are the ones that are influencing you by contact? You see, God says there, we're to walk with the wise if we want to be wise. There in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We have a responsibility to look at that and say, from my standpoint, if I want to get sharper, I need to look for somebody sharper than me. And if I want to sharpen someone, I need to be sharp myself. And so there's that process that is there. We need to be careful about who we choose to spend our time with and let them rub off on us so that we're not learning the wrong thing, we're not going in the wrong direction, but that we are growing deeper and deeper in our walk with the Lord, and we are getting the support that we need from those that can best support us. We're told also that there's the nourishment that's available to one another. From the other trees there, the redwoods. As believers, we need to help. We need help with our own spiritual nourishment. Not only can you be nourished here on a Sunday morning, but other believers can help encourage you. You know, you come in contact with them. I came in contact with other Christians yesterday out. I was at Walmart, and I saw several of them. I saw Sharon, and she was talking to somebody else. I didn't get to talk to her, but I saw several other believers there and stopped, had conversations with, etc. And in those times, there's opportunity to have contact that is supportive and nourishing, etc. If you're looking to do that. Now, sometimes we look and say, yeah, I just don't have time to do that. But I think I can show you some proof that we are to make time to do that. You see, it's part of what God has in store for us. And so these things sometimes can be frustrating to us that are in pressured time situations, but at the same time, we've got to say, Lord, what is it that you have scheduled for me today? What is it that you want me to accomplish? There were some things I didn't get to accomplish yesterday that I know I would have liked to have gotten done and checked off of my list, but I didn't get to. Not just because I was chatting, but just everything, other things that the Lord brought in the life there that was not planned. And so we have to be able to adjust to those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another." 1 Corinthians 14:23, "Let all things be done unto edifying." What is edifying? What does it mean? It is talking about a building, an edifice. It means to build up there specifically. We could describe it to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, virtue, holiness, etc. And therefore, it's really talking about just spiritual enrichment. A spiritual growth is what we're to be seeking to produce in effect-wise when we have contact with other people. We're to seek to have an influence upon them in a positive way in their walk with the Lord. And so we must take time to do that. Again, Christian fellowship is a great way to accomplish this. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 1, 3 through 5, he said, he thanked his God and rejoiced for their fellowship with him. Their fellowship with him. Do you know that there are some believers that don't care to fellowship with other believers? They say, I ain't got no need for that. I ain't got no time for that. But you know, God wants us to fellowship with one another. We see it time and time in Scripture. We see it talked about with our responsibilities with one another, etc., that's there. Colossians 3:16, again, in that passage there where it said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." The next phrase says, "Teaching and admonishing one another." You can't do that if you're not around one another. You get it? And so if we're going to do these things that God says, then we've got to be around the people that God says to be around to do it. And so we must and need one another's support and one another's help when it comes to our spiritual growth. Maybe you've grown so much spiritually that you don't need anybody else's help. Can I speak to you just a minute? I have never in my life grown to the point where I thought that I didn't need to grow anymore. Matter of fact, the opposite is really true. The more that I grow spiritually, the more I see I need to grow spiritually. And so we've got to understand that none of us have arrived spiritually. We all need to be growing. You know, another thing that I've learned, there have been some people that didn't know as nearly as much Bible as I know that have taught me truth. We need to be open to what the Lord may teach us. Maybe something very simple that we just needed to hear. And then on the other hand, getting help from one another is a two-way street that is there. There are plenty of us that need to be giving the help in the spiritual growth. And we can't do that if we're not present there as well. And so it's important. We need both. We need both the vertical growth deep down into the God's Word so that it can control us. And we need the horizontal growth there in fellowship with other godly Christians, because iron sharpeneth iron, as God has said. Both of them, as I mentioned, are seen there in Colossians 3:16. Both of them are characteristics of the first church there in Jerusalem. There, after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now we know what the prayers are. The breaking of bread is the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But notice what he says, the first two things of which they continued in. The apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is the teachings, that is, the Word of God, and fellowships. God is saying to us, if we want to be like the pattern that he gave us in the New Testament, we ought to be getting deep into the Word of God, and we ought to be getting broad in fellowship with our other believers. That's part of God's plan. You need that, we need that, and we need to recognize that before we'll do it. Don't neglect either the doctrine or the fellowship there. So, Christian, are you putting forth the effort to grow your roots deeper into God's Word? Remember, study is putting forth effort. And it takes that effort. It's not easy, but it takes time. It takes the effort. Secondly, Christian, are you making the time to be around other growing Christians? I didn't say, do you have time to be around them? Are you making the time to be around them? It's a choice you've got to decide. Are you going to devote that time to spending time with others? It's not a waste of time. It's obedience to God's Word. If you're not, why not? Why not let the tale of these two trees be an encouragement in your walk with the Lord today? We need from God's Word the depth of His knowledge that it may control us. And we need from God's people to be fellowshipping together to encourage one another and to receive that encouragement from each other. Every head bow, please. In what God has revealed to us today of what we have seen here, that I ask you as a believer today, what has God put His finger upon in your life? Is it in the area of the acacia tree with the deep roots that you feel that God is saying your roots are not deep enough in His Word? God is saying that you need to put forth the effort. There are helps for you. We have it in Sunday school. We have it in our preaching time here. We have it on Sunday night, our youth ministry and all of the graded classes and so forth. It's there. My adult Bible study certainly
we get into the depths of God's Word. All of these areas are things that you can take advantage of to learn and to grow and to deepen your roots of God's Word. None of us have arrived. None of us can say, hey, I can retire from my effort of getting God's Word in my life. We all need to continue. And then, could it be that God is putting His finger upon the fellowshipping? It's not just for fun. I hope that you'll find that it is fun. But it's so that we can support one another. Be a support and receive the support. Father, I pray that we would look within ourselves and allow You to show us what we need to adjust. And Father, I pray that You would be glorified through our response. In Jesus' name, amen.